Nehemiah 4. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, come before thee. Thank you, God, for this time, this place, these folks that are here. Pastor this church, pray that you bless there in a wonderful way. And Father, pray that you bless. Holy Spirit, please lay my mouth, my mind. I pray, Holy Spirit, deal with each one that's here today. Show us some things we have need of and things he's going to do there. Father, things he's going to do, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Nehemiah chapter 4. Verse 1 says this. It came to pass when Sanballat heard that we built the wall, his wrath took great indignation and mocked the Jews. Spake for his brethren, Aram and Samaria, and said, what do these people Jews? Will they fortify themselves with sacrifice? They can end in a day. And by the stones are heaps of rubbish which are burned. Now, even in the Old Testament, there are some Democrats, okay? He shows up in verse number 3. Now Tobiah, the Ammonite, was by him, and he said, even that which they built a fosco up shall break down their stone wall. Now Nehemiah begins to pray in verse number 4, says this, hear, O God, despised, approach upon your own head, give them prey in captivity, cover not their iniquity, and send me blood from before thee, provoke thee to anger before the builders. He built a wall, going to half thereof, and people had a mind to work. I want to preach a little while on this morning. Revival in the midst of the rubbish. Now, I'll tell you what, when I was in school a long time ago, I was told and taught that America was a Christian nation. We used to be a Christian nation. Some people, foreign country broke away because they were under religious persecution. They wanted to form their own country, and they did here in America. And so, but the devil didn't like that. And the devil didn't like the Garden of Eden either. He went after Eve and got Eve to sin, and Adam to sin also. That's where sin came to place right there, is in the Garden of Eden. So he wasn't happy about America being a Christian, so he's after America. There are people in Washington, D.C. right now that would like to see this country become a communist country. They ought to just resign and leave, amen? Go find a communist country and join them, amen? And find out how many rights they got there, amen? So, our country's under attack. Our churches are under attack. I remember the day when church was to be a special thing. People looked forward to Sunday and Wednesday. They longed to be in the house of God. That's right. Why? The preacher got up and preached. They loved hearing from God. Yes, sir. But the devil didn't like that. Our churches are under attack today. A lot of churches have been closed. Come on. Yes, the church that we started, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, in Sheboygan, Michigan. We tried again to preach. The guy who was there before. I walked in, and my wife, I said, where is everybody? Yeah. They had five people. When we took that work, and I'll tell you what, it's not up to the pastor to build a church, amen. I told the people, I said, look, I know how to knock on doors. I can build Blessed Hope Baptist. I can do it. But it's not up to me. It's up to you. You get 50 people here. 50 people. And I'll run outside of this building shouting glory to God in front of all those Catholics. I'll shout glory to God in front of every one of them. Well, guess what? We got 55 people. Guess when? January, that much snow. I'm a boot guy. I kept my word. I ran, I shouted glory all the way around that big building, all the way around that building, come brush the snow. I said, okay, you did it once, let's do it again. Huh? Come on. It's up to the people. Like I said, they are witness of what God's done in their hearts to tell people out there what's going on. Come church. So, our churches. I got a list of pastors, churches, across our country. And a lot of churches are without pastors today. A lot. Now, some churches want to be without a pastor. That's a dangerous place to be. The pastor is the under-shepherd. He gets his message from God to give to you. And folks, so our churches. Our family is under attack. The devil does not like a good family. Got some friends of ours down in Indiana, and their kids adopted us as grandma and grandpa. 13 children. We pull in the driveway, them kids just come, just, man, hug us, love us. Folks, our families are under attack. The devil is waiting for one child in a good family to turn prodigal. Yeah. I was a prodigal son. My dad was a Baptist preacher for over 30 years. I got tired of being called a preacher's kid in school, so I fell in with the wrong crowd. I said, my folks, that was my fault, amen. Nobody else's. When I got married, we had some children. My little daughter, at 4 years old, climbed up on the hump in the middle where the trans driver's hand was, little hump there. You don't have them nowadays. We would drive. She said, Daddy, we ain't gonna go to church. I assume. Down on the corner from us was Grace Bible Church. We started attending. God will use what he's got to use to get the job done. Grace Bible Church, a good church, and they had a revival meeting coming up. And so we started attending. And me and my oldest boy went, my wife stayed home with some six children. And that night, folks, God used that evangelist to get a hold of me and my oldest boy. Most of them got saved over here. I got right over here, amen. But, you know, a couple years later, I seen that same evangelist on the road. I said, brother, what a meeting we had in that Grace Bible Church. He said, yes, sir, it was a good meeting. But let me tell you something about that, brother, quick. What? He said, I wasn't even saved then. God will use what he's got to use to get the job done. We've been in the ministry for 43 years now. Hello? Almost 44 years on the road trying to get a job done. So, that's, we're living amidst the rubbish, amen? Rubbish. But we need to do something. What's the first thing to be revived? Our prayer life. Our prayer life needs to be revived, brought back to life again, folks. Yeah, you may pray for your meal. You may pray a little bit here, pray a little bit, me and pray a little bit on Wednesday night. We need to get our prayer life back on business with God, amen. God is waiting to hear from this church. Waiting to hear from young people, older people. Doesn't matter. He wants to hear. Come on. Our prayer life needs reviving. Now, don't tell me you can't pray. Hello? Don't tell me you can't pray. My prayer life needs to be revived. James chapter 4. James 4. The Bible says in verse number 3, ye ask and receive not because you ask amiss and consume it upon your lust. We're asking wrongfully. Amiss. Hello? Wrongfully. In this church, I've been asking God to send souls. Hello? Souls. Our prayer life needs reviving. Matthew 21. Matthew 21. Bible says there in verse number 21. Jesus answered and said to them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not do as under the fig tree. Yesterday says, this mountain be removed and be cast to sea, and it shall be done in all things which you ask in prayer, believing. What? You might get. Come on. Hope to get. My King James Bible says, ye shall receive. You know? Shall receive. But there's one word back there in verse number 21. If you have faith and doubt not. We doubt God too much, folks. Hello? God is able to do anything and everything that we ask him to do. Amen? But we doubt. We doubt. Our prayer life needs to be brought back to life. I remember praying all night at the church house. Missionary call home and say, we got a problem over here. We got this going wrong, that going wrong. And we would get the men would gather at the church house and pray all night long for that missionary. Now I believe in praying through. Hello? Praying through. That's Methodist way of salvation. Now, I'm not talking about method. I'm talking about praying through. Pray until God comes through. Answers that prayer. Amen. Don't just once in a while. Once in a while. Always bring that prayer. Hello? I'm still praying for doctors. Hello? Had a hernia down here on the size of a baseball, and I had to hold myself to preach, and went and seen this doctor, Dr. Gowell. I can take care of that, no problem. Did the surgery, and I developed another one. Back to see him again. He said, I can take care of that, okay. He operated on me on Friday. Said I was on the road for all day traveling to Illinois, preached all day Sunday, not 1 ounce of pain. The same doctor told us in his office, he said, my marriage is on the rocks. He said, I don't go to church very much anymore at all. I said, you got a Bible? No, I wish I had one. Can you get me one? We'll get you one. That same church was at in Illinois, gave us a Bible to give this doctor. My checkup visit with him, and doctor, here's the Bible. I'm going to read it every day. Okay, read it every day. Every day I'm going to read that Bible to him. I'm going to read it. All right? Thank you. Come to find out, I had another visit with that man. A small hernia I had developed. And I said, yeah, I'm a patient. He says, Tim, you're not my patient, you're my friend. His marriage is back together. He's back in church again. Why? Hello? I prayed for him. We prayed for him. See, folks. Our prayer life. No doubt, God can do everything that we ask him to do. I'll tell you what, folks. We need to get back to praying like we used to. Pray with some concern. Hello? Paul says, I know whom I believe. I'm trusting. He's able to keep that. I guess that. He said, I know who I believe in. Then we need to pray continually. Never quit. Luke chapter 18. Luke 18. Luke 18. The Bible says in verse number 1. Just speak a parable, and this end of men are always to pray and not to faint. Our prayer life has become faint. That word faint means become weak. We don't pray like we used to pray. Hey, we have a meeting. We pull out of the garage doors coming down. We join hands. We pray to God. We're headed for a meeting. Please protect us on our way there. About, you know, we had some close calls on the road. I was on, I think it was 75, wet pavement. But just like that, went from wet pavement to glare ice. I seen brake lights and things ahead of me. I put my brake on, no stopping at 75 miles an hour. No stopping whatsoever. Cars all around. One little gap over there. And God took that Yukon and pulled us right there. Look at that. Never scratched, not, woof, like that. I tell you, I didn't have time to pray. My wife's praying. I didn't have time to pray. I was busy controlling the vehicle, amen. We didn't pray. God, protect us. Just found out the other day, a truck driver was stopped. They asked him for his driver's license, and he didn't have no CDL. Come to find out, he didn't even know how to back his truck up. Hello. He couldn't read. We stopped. There was all kinds of road construction signs up. One lane closed ahead. We got in our own lane. Someone behind us. When that guy finally woke up, you can put your hand between his bumper and his mine. I mean, that was that close. God, protect us when we're on the road. Please protect us. We've had some close calls. But God said, I've got it under control. If we pray, if we faint not, Bible says the next verse there. and the widow in the city, a judge in the city, which feared God nor regarded man. And the widow in that city also, she came to him and said, avenge me of my adversary, judge. This widow woman took her life into her hands, coming before the judge, saying, I've been wrong, judge, make my wrong right. Avenge me of my wrong. The Bible says you would not for a while. But afterwards, next verse there, he said, man, though I fear not God nor man, yet because this widow woman is coming to me, she's bothering me, troubling me, I will avenge her. Yeah. When's the last time we bothered God?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
Bothered God about some things. Right. Come on, bother him.
Absolutely.
I'll tell you what, folks, we've been up at Peninsula for a while. Got a call from a church. Brother Quinn, you come to Manistee and help us start West Side Baptist Church. I said, let me pray about that. And God said, go. So I called and we'll come. I have promise of work in that town. I lay carpet and stuff like that. And so we moved in. I went to work. The guy fired me. That first day. Had a strange way, strange car. You go corner to corner. You don't do it that way. I didn't say a word to him. That's his problem, not mine. I said, carpet, then you don't get no wrinkles when I get done, amen. No wrinkles. Anyway, came home, I said, the job's gone. Went to my prayer closet, I said, dear God, you called us here. I need some money. And we're out of money. Knocked my front door. Same morning, yes, sir. You lay carpet? I do. Well, we just bought a house. Same time, I've been by it. Come on down and give us an estimate. I can do that, no problem. That morning, folks, we sent the kids to Christian school with all that we had left in the house. Homemade biscuits and water. No jelly, nothing. Went and measured the house. Okay. No, no. Sure. I'll get my tool. Oh, wait a minute. Did I forget it? No. I'll pay you first. They gave me a fistful of money. I could have floated home, folks. Why? God had just come through again.
Amen.
I walked in the house and said, where'd you get them? They pay. They don't do that in the business. They did this time. Go with some goodies for the kids. Here.
Amen. Amen.
Why? I prayed. Asked God. Now, the church in that town was against our church. Quit this. I know why Baptist church can't get along with each other. We're here to win souls. Not to compete with each other.
That's right.
When souls came out of hell. But they didn't like us being there. In my prayer closet, out of food again. Dear God, would I like to eat? No food. Knock on my door. Brother Quicken, who I am? Yeah, I know who you are. You're Ollie from Ollie's Better Grocery Store. Yeah, he said, I got a few things for you. A deacon at the other church. He brought for us the biggest boxes, jam-packed full of food. We had meat, everything there. Jelly, everything there, except for one thing. I'm a meat and taters man. I'd gladly open up a box of taters and eat it. Instant taters, amen? No potatoes.
I
went back to my closet and said, dear God, I was in tears. I said, you are a great God, wonderful. You helped us out before. But dear God, you know who I am. I'm a meat and taters man. Not one potato nowhere, dear God. What's going on here? We got to have some taters. Knock on my door. Brother Quick, I think so. Got something for you. Running for 50 pounds of potatoes been in my kitchen. He said, I'd have been here yesterday if I got tied up. He said, don't you ever go without potatoes again. I'm a potato farmer. They're in bulk storage. Yours for asking anytime, anywhere, anyhow. Yours. Why? I asked God for potatoes.
Yes, sir.
Now, what can this church do about asking God for souls?
Right. That's right.
Souls! Now, the potatoes are pretty precious to me, but them souls are a whole lot precious to God. Amen.
Yeah.
He wants to see them in heaven, not in hell.
Right. That's right.
I got paid the price. Bother God. We're in Alabama. We went to Alabama with a one-ton dually pickup. A topper. Four-door, I mean, nice truck, diesel and everything. But nothing to pull it with. So anyways, we get down there. My youngest son says, "Daddy, there's a 35-foot fifth wheel in the trailer in the paper, and we have to go look at it." I said, "Son, I'm an evangelist. I ain't got no money. Please." But he kept coming. "Daddy, it's still there. Please, don't. I ain't got no money." Finally, I said, "Let's go look at the stupid thing." That time, I was using a walker to walk around with my back problem, stuff like that. Open up the door, and here he is. He's a couple years old. 35-foot Dutchman fifth wheel trailer. Big expander on the side. I walked through the door like this. I thought, "I like this door. It's wide. Wow." Mom got them looking around. His baby's got 8 closets, storage spaces. We had a full bathroom up front in the master bedroom. And shower. Everything was there. "Daddy, my daughter, come on, man. Yes, he was back here, Daddy." One girl out of the bathroom. God knows how to deal, amen. When we left Alabama, guess what was pulling? God knew that 35-foot fifth wheel was going to be our home for 18 years in Michigan. Hello? My back problems were just starting. But he knew. Hadn't asked him about that. Didn't know about that yet. God, Bible says, God will supply your needs. Even if you even ask him, he will supply for you. If we ask. Our prayer life needs to get back to praying. Praying. Spend some time in that closet. That closet's gotten us meetings. That closet's gotten us food, money. That closet provided things for us. Bible says, let me just give you a verse. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6. About the closet. Bible says there in verse number 6 of Matthew 6. "But when thou prayest, enter in thy closet, and thou shut thy door. Pray the Father which is in secret. The Father who seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." A closet. We all need to have some place to get a hold of God. Somewhere. I'm a deer hunter. I sat behind side trees out in the woods, and that tree became my closet. Praying for a big buck, huh? No, I pray to God about other things. My wife and I, we pray about a lot. We go to a lot of churches. People say, "Can you pray about this, but sister quick, can you pray about this?" We'll pray. We got a prayer list about a mile and a half long of things we're going to pray for every day. Our prayer life needs help to get back. Praying like we believe God, amen?
Yeah.
Praying like we really do believe in him. Asking him for this or for that. Our prayer life needs reviving. Secondly, our purpose needs reviving. God, and this might be a surprise to you, God did not save you to sit you in a church pew. No, that's a good idea. You're in church, but God did not save you just for that. God had one thing in mind when he saved your soul. He wants you to serve him. Serve him. I know how you're going to do it. Ask your pastor. He'll tell you. He'll help you. He wants you to serve the God that sent his son to the cross of Calvary to save your soul. He wants a little service from you now. Just a little bit. Our purpose needs reviving. You get back to serving God. Not talking about him, but serving him. Like we ought to. like we ought to. Romans chapter 8. And verse number 28 says, and we know, Paul says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. His purpose. Hello? Not our purpose. His purpose. He wants us all to get on fire for him, amen? Get on fire for him. God wants us to be an absolute witness, to tell people at the very moment they ask you, why do you go to church? Come on. Why are you going? What are you doing? How come Sunday is such a special day for you? How come you don't go shopping on Sunday? How come you don't go? Why? Be ready. Our purpose. Our purpose. Our purpose. God wants us to have the knowledge, like I said in Sunday school, about the Savior. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, he was the only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. I'm never going to die. Hello? I'm never going to die. I tell you what, that trumpet, are you listening to that trumpet to blow? I am. I'm waiting. That trumpet blows, they're going to find my clothes, my gun, my wallet. Hello? My pain pump that I got here. My spinal stimulant back here. Nuts and bolts on my spine together. My false teeth. I won't need them no more. I say, this guy's a bunch of junk, man. Look at the junk here. Oh, man, I'm saying, cash in, get some money. Yeah. Folks, I have a glorified body just waiting in heaven for me. That trumpet blows, I'm out of here. Gone. No packing bags. Gone. Home. When we enter our vehicle towards home, it's always good to go home. Amen. I long to see my driveway, my garage door coming up. I long to see home, but I long to see heaven one day.
Yes. Amen.
I've got a promise from God that one day when that time, he said, you're coming home.
Yeah, that's right.
And I hope that every one of us today has got it settled.
Yes, sir.
In your heart. If you die right now, where are you going to spend eternity?
Exactly.
Heaven or hell?
That's right.
You got two choices. Heaven or hell? There's no purgatory.
Nope.
By the way, that Pope just died.
Yeah.
That Pope went to hell.
Yes,
I know some people down in hell right now. They're saying, hey, Pope, we're here because of you. We believed you. We're here, burning. Because of you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be that Pope, man. Well, I'll tell you what, folks. Our purpose. We need to serve the God that sent his Son to the cross of Calvary and shed all his blood that day just to save our souls.
Yes,
yeah. Wants us to serve. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. The Bible says in verse number 1 of John chapter 15, I'm the true vine, my Father's husbandman. That branch that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. That branch that beareth fruit, he purges it and brings forth more fruit. Now you cling to the word I've spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, since abide in the vine, since abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Without me, ye can do nothing. He wants us to serve. To serve him. Hello? To serve him. He wants us to give a little bit back what he's given to us. Amen? He wants us to give back a little bit. Come on. Back just a little bit. Romans chapter 12. Romans 6, I think I'm right. Romans 6, if you will. Look at verse number 11. Likewise, reckon yourselves also be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us then therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that you may be in the lust thereof. You yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Hello? For you're not under the law, but under grace. He wants us to serve him. Serve him. Ephesians, if you will, chapter 2. Ephesians 2. Bible says in verse number 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Time passed, you all, according to the world, according to the power of the air, spirit now working in the children of disobedience. You're quickened. What's the word quickened mean? It means to be made alive. We Christians, I would say, have to become Pentecostal. You mean made alive. God sent his son across the Calvary. He saved your soul not to sit idle someplace, but to come alive. We all have a witness to tell people out there what God has done for us and what he's going to do for everybody. Amen. We have a message to give. Our purpose. How about you, but our military has picked up a lot of people right now. Because we have a real leader now.
Yes, sir.
A real one. And he doesn't go on vacation every other week, amen?
Yeah.
Trump is busy, constantly busy with figures in his mind about this, that, constantly helping America. You know what, folks? Listen to me. Our military people, they have to go through boot camp to be trained. I have no problem with these guys. They're lovers of men. They're lovers of women, okay? I have trouble with them wanting to defend us over there, wherever. Are they going to really fight or run? Come on. Fight or run. Our purpose. Are you a good soldier for Jesus Christ? The Bible says, you're a good soldier for him. He's paid the price for us all. Well, I'll tell you what. Our purpose needs reviving. Get back to doing what we gotta do. Romans 12. Verse number 1 says this. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that your body is a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed in the renewing of your mind. Prove what is good and acceptable, the perfect will of God. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Right there. Looking unto Jesus. Amen. The author and finisher of our faith. So our prayer life needs reviving. Our purpose needs reviving. Thirdly, our praise needs reviving. Our praise needs reviving. Like I said, don't become Pentecostal. Become Baptist. I remember the day my daddy had Calvary Baptist Church, Galen, Michigan. Sunday school was packed. Sunday morning packed. Sunday night, Wednesday night packed. They just put an addition off the building for a fellowship room. Packed. People were excited about God. We as Christians get back excited about God, what God can do for us through him, amen. Our praise What's wrong with our praise today? I said, I praise the military men. I thank them for serving. I thank them for protecting us. I praise my wife, tremendously good cook. My first bite, I said, boy, babe, it's good. I praise her. I make things in my shop. She said, boy, babe, it looks good. Thank you. She praised me. What's wrong with praising God?
Amen.
For the Son that left all eternity to come here.
Right.
To be treated like he was treated. Knowing! But yet he came anyways.
Yeah.
Our praise. What's wrong with us today? What's wrong with us today? Psalms chapter 5. Psalms 5. Verse number 11 says this. All those that put their trust in thee rejoice, let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them ever love thy name, be joyful in thee. He defends us, folks. God is being bombarded by the devil every day. What about those people down there? Walker Bible Baptist Church. What about them? Look at how they're living. If you're saved, God says, look, devil, they're under the blood.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
What about that preacher going around? Under the blood.
Yes.
He defends us.
Right.
Next chapter, Psalms. Verse number 10, I think it is. God is my defense. My defenders never lost a case. Never even come close. No appeals. He never has lost a case. He's true to the point. True. Our praise needs reviving. I'll tell you what, folks. We'll be ashamed of ourselves. Psalms 106. Psalms 106. I'm just about done. Psalms 106. The Bible says in verse number 1, praise ye, Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord for his good, for his mercy endureth forever. I can keep on going about that. Keep on going on. Psalm 118. 118. Talking about his mercy. 118 verse number 1 says, O give thanks, O Lord, for his good, because his mercy endureth forever. Goes on. His mercy endureth forever. 1 Chronicles 16. Look at verse number 34. Bible says there, O give thanks, the Lord, for his good, for his mercy endureth forever. It just keeps on going, folks. About his mercy. It's just going to keep on being there constantly forever. My daddy had Calvary Baptist Church, Gaylord, Michigan. He left Calvary. Got put Faith Baptist Church, Dalton, Michigan. Parsons next to it. One time I was down in the basement. In the corner of that basement was our workshop. Do things down there. One day I was down there, the old fly had caught himself in a web. Daddy, Daddy, come on down here. Something to show you. I'm about 10 years old. What, son? The fly. What about him? Don't you set him free? Don't you just leave him alone. If I can set him free, just leave him alone, son. And I understand that. I said, okay. A couple days later, I'm back down there. Fly's still there, but he's not moving. Daddy, Daddy, come on down here again. Daddy, come here. Come here, I'll show you something. What, son? The fly. You know, what about it? I said, but Daddy, he's not moving. Your son, never forgot this. That fly got too close to the web, got caught. That spider kept coming up with more web on him all the time. You didn't see him do that, but he was doing it all the time. You'd never set him free the other day. And but why is he not moving, Daddy? He says this, son, the fly is dead. It's dead. That spider ate that fly from inside out. The same thing will happen to us Christians. We let sin get into our life. It starts eating on the inside. It may look like a Christian on the outside, but inside we're dead. Gone. No life back in there anymore. Why? Got too close to the web. Samson, about your size. When the Spirit of God fell upon him, he could do miraculous. He could do, man, you watch out, man. But Samson saw something he shouldn't have. Daddy, I saw a woman over there. Go get her for me. My son, she's on the other side. You can't have her. I want her. And victorious Samson got this woman. You know, I think if my wife asked where lies my strength, after the second time, said, what is wrong with you? Keep asking me that question. What's the matter with you, girl? But finally, he gave in. She goes, here. Samson, they're upon us. Now, I can take care of that, no problem. And he was just a weak man. But the end of that story was this. They took his eyes out, chained him to a pillar down underneath the palace there, and then it happened. He began to pray, dear God, use me one more time. One more time. His hair began to grow. The Bible tells me he pushed that pillar out, and that time he killed more people than he ever did before. In his whole lifetime. Oh, God. Because he prayed. Asked God for one more chance. Yeah. To serve him. When Jesus came, he had to borrow a womb, Mary. He had to borrow a donkey. He had to borrow a cross. He had to borrow a tomb. He did all that borrowing for one purpose, to save your soul and mine.
Amen.
Revival in the midst of the rubbish. Stand with me, please. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I wonder today. Might be something here, say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not quite sure. If I go to heaven, I'm not quite sure about that. Will you pray? Here's my hand. I would like to get that settled today. Here's my hand. I'm not sure if I'm saved. Please, young or old, pray for me, Brother Quick. I'm not sure, but I want to be sure. Pray for me, Brother Quick. Here's my hand. Brother Quick, God spoke to my heart about some things. My prayer life is not right. My purpose is not right. I see the hand going, yeah, yes. Yes, all right, yes, all right. Please, pray for me. God has really spoken to my heart about something. My wife begins to sing, you come to this altar and take care of whatever it is. As she sings.
I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus, who died upon the cruel tree? To think of his great sacrifice at Calvary, I know my Lord expects the best from me. How many are the lost that I have lived at? How many are the chained I've helped to free? I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus when he has done so much for me.
Are you doing your best for him?
The hours that
your time,
I wasted
people here right now, come on.
Are so many.
Take care of that problem, whatever it is.
The hours I've spent for Christ so few, because of all my lack of love for Jesus, I wonder if his heart is breaking too. How many are the lost that I have lifted? How many are the chained I've helped to free? I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus when he has done so much
there's
for
people still
me?
At the altar. Please come.
I wonder if I care.
Salvation, what you need, we can take care of it right now.
Others, or have I let them die alone? I might have helped a wanderer to the Savior. The seed of precious life I might have sown. How many are the lost that I have lifted? How many are the chained I've helped to free? I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus when
people still coming.
He has done so much for me?
I'm in no hurry.
No longer will I stay within the valley or climb to mountain heights above. The world is dying now for want of someone to tell them of the Savior's matchless love. How many are the lost that I have lifted? How many are the chained I've helped to free? I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus when he has done so much for me? Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way.
Let him have his way.
Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in his presence humbly I bow.
Father, it's been good being in your house today. Thank you for doing business with some of these folks here. They walk out here better people than they've been here, and thank you for that. Bless the food we're going to have time downstairs. Amen. You can fellowship a little while. There's lunch downstairs, I believe. Got prayer cards up here.